Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are the Blended Life.
Hey everyone, welcome. Today we're talking about the biggest struggles that blended families face and why they end too soon. Stay tuned.
Okie dokie, artichokey, where are we starting today?
Well, you know, I did this interview with Lisa Grace for a divorce summit she was having. She's a divorce life coach.
Right.
And she had asked me to come on in a summit she was doing that, you know, you guys might have heard it if you followed us on Instagram or any social media, it was out there. And I just thought it was what she was asking me about, what she wanted to know about, because it's all about rebuilding after divorce,
right?
Like giving people hope after divorce that there can be a life worth living, that there could be
a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Like divorce sucks and divorce is hard.
Right.
And even there's if life you afterwards.
Wanted, I'm assuming even if you wanted divorce, it's still a sucky situation, right?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
I'm really excited for something that I want to tease it now, because I think one thing about divorce.
Are we getting divorced?
I sure hope not. I'm tired. I think what I want to share with our audience first and foremost is we have a really special guest coming on later this summer, maybe late August. Mm-hmm. And she is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Right.
She's also an ordained minister with the Nazarene Church.
That's right.
So this, and she's a woman. Which I love,
yeah.
Right? Because, like, don't put God in a box. There's so much, like, women shouldn't preach or whatever.
Well, the exciting thing about her, too,
awesome.
Is she is a real person. She comes from a real past. She comes from a really hard past that a lot of people probably can relate to. And a lot of people probably know people like this. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I never want to be like that. So for her to go from that to where she is now. And still be a person. She's still very human.
Yeah.
You know, and very relatable.
Yeah.
And will be just exciting for all everyone to hear.
Yes. And you know my favorite thing about her?
Her tattoos.
Oh, I love her tattoos. But she tells it like it is.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that there's not a whole lot of like beating around the bush or you know. I like a straight shooter, and what we're going to ask her about, which I want you guys to get excited for, and if you have questions, write in and let me know what they are, because there's going to be two episodes that drop. The first episode that's going to drop is going to be about divorce in the church, the Christian church specifically, and what does God say about divorce, and what does redemption look like, because I've always felt that blended families are the bastards of church, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we don't look at it. Don't acknowledge it. You're wrong because you're divorced. You're not
If you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Right. And blended families really struggle, as we all know. And I'm like, why are churches not providing all the support groups for blended families, right? Because God is all about redemption. So I'm really excited to talk to her about, from a past from like a pastor standpoint, what does she have to say about divorce? Because she's not divorced.
Nope, she has. They have one kid.
Older.
And, older, yep, college age.
Yep.
And we want to hear a quick little fun fact about her. Her name's Gina Nicola. We'll introduce her when she comes on. But a fun fact is, I just talked about her tattoos. Most of her tattoos are somewhat current. They aren't from her older past life, which is also fun. And then, like, my favorite thing about her is she's a Mario lover. She loves Mario.
Like you love Mario?
Yeah.
I always want to see you. I'm always like, you guys should go head to head.
She'll smoke me. I haven't played Mario since January.
But yeah, so I want to know what you guys want to know. So if you could write in at my coaching email address at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. Let me know what questions you have for a pastor of a Christian church when it comes to divorce and when it comes to blended families, like getting remarried and with kids. And I want to know what you want to know about that, because I certainly have had a lot of experience just feeling like it's a secret we don't talk about that you've been divorced and are remarried, and you've been divorced twice. Like, oh my gosh, you know. So the other episode that's going to drop a little bit later with her that I would also love for feedback as far as questions and what you guys would want to know about is she's going to come on. She deals with her practice in therapy. She is a therapist, but she meets and counsels couples, divorced couples. She counsels blended family couples. Eric and I have seen her. So she does that. And she also works with children. So she has sat with a lot of teenagers and some younger kids who are from divorced families, who are in blended families. And she has a lot of wisdom as far as what the kids are dealing with, what couples, you know, therapy, why it works, why it doesn't work. And so I'd love your questions around that. What do you guys want to know from a licensed marriage and family therapist who works with kids and adults and blended families? What questions would you have? I have a ton. I can't wait for these to drop. So email me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let me know your questions and what you want to know.
Or just do it the easy way and leave a comment below if you're watching this on YouTube.
That's true. Leave a comment below.
There we go.
So I did this interview with Lisa Grace and when she did her divorce summit, and what she wanted to know from me was really like, what are some of the biggest struggles that blended families face, and why don't blended families last?
Yes.
So I thought that would be a useful topic because, you know, our purpose here is to bring to light the path so that people don't fall when they don't have to, so that we don't have to get divorced because we're unhappy, right?
Yeah.
Because happiness is a feeling, and feelings are irrational and they come and go. And being feelings led in anything isn't, we don't make wise decisions out of emotion. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, this could be a 7-minute podcast then, because I have the solving for everything.
Great.
It's communication. It's communication, being open to communication and talking about those feelings. If you feel something, if your partner feels something, talk about it, communicate about it. And if you can communicate about anything, you can communicate about anything.
That's really, really good.
Yeah, thanks. We're done. Bye, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge reason why one of the biggest struggles and why blended families don't make it. I think that's probably the number one reason.
It's probably one of the biggest reasons any relationship doesn't make it.
Correct.
You know, communication is everything. If you learn how to communicate and fight fair, isn't there a book on fighting fair? How to I don't know. I'm sure there is. Like, look it up.
You're talking about books right now.
That's why I don't know. I don't know details and specifics. But
I wasn't prepared for you to bring
something
up books
like the art of like fighting fair or something. I'll look it up after I change angles. Boom.
But here's the thing I want to say about communication. I agree, and this is something I actually talk about with every single person that comes through my coaching practice. Is we tackle communication right off the bat because it is oxygen to relationships.
Right.
So here's the deal, though, about communication that makes it so hard is you have to not only be a great talker, right? Like communicate.
Yeah.
But half of communication is listening.
Yeah. It 100% is. Wait, what did you say? I'm just kidding.
Are you going to do you have it now?
And I do. See, listen, I know things. It's called The Intimate Enemy, How to Fight Fair in Love and Marriage.
Have you read this book?
No, but you should. Let me know how it is.
Yeah, I do all I do all the reading in our family.
Right.
Okay.
Gosh, you know when it was published?
What?
I don't know if it's relevant anymore. July of 1983.
I was 2 years old.
Barely.
Maybe. No. Crazy, I wasn't yet two. Yeah. So let's
I think there's other ones too. Yeah, like Fight Fair Without Losing at Love. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
well, others. I love that title because I think fighting, well, quote unquote fighting, right? Arguments, like that's where you grow, that's where you mature, that's where you bond. So we shouldn't be afraid of arguments or disagreements. Like, right. I think it's part of any relationship. And, you know, if you're not having disagreements or arguments, you're probably living a really surface relationship. But this is what I want to dig into right now with communication, since you brought it up.
Yeah. How to fight fair in marriage. I'm reading these little tiny thumbnails. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Cool. Start reading.
Okay.
Thanks.
So being a good communicator means you have to be a good listener.
Absolutely.
And I think so, because I think people all agree communication is important. And I think people, well, I see it all the time in my practice, and even for myself, and I won't speak for you, but you'll probably nod your head as well when I say this, that it feels very unsafe to share sometimes. Not like physically, right? But the backlash that you're going to get, like, it's not okay for me to share my feelings because you're going to get offended, you're going to get mad, you're going to gaslight, not you specifically, but like the other person's going to turn it around and I'm going to end up apologizing for my feelings, which feels very wrong and bad, mm-hmm. and just creates more problems. So I think if you want communication, you have to be willing to receive without taking offense or letting the other person be valid in their feelings, even if it doesn't make sense to you because you don't have that same experience. Or because this is something in blended families, we're all living in the same home having completely different experiences.
A lot of times, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you and I will recount something we both lived through and have completely different point of views about it.
Yeah, and our kids had no idea it happened, or one saw it and one didn't. And yeah, it's like every single...
Or
like,
their this observation is our, well, it has nothing to do with the reality of the situation.
Well, correct? And this is our... Yeah, and this is our household specifically. This is us. This is exactly how our marriage goes, our relationship goes, our blended family goes, which is a big reason why we're here, to try to help fix this and understand this, but also so you guys get to learn from this and hopefully chime in. So if there's parts about this that you're like, yeah, I can relate, or I've got to solve for this, or whatever it may be, please feel free to leave a comment below and let us know your experience, because we're always learning from this. And Julie's clients specifically, if you guys don't know, Julie is a health and life coach specifically for blended families and married, remarried couples, and just helps people get on a path where they can learn how to resolve this self and become a better them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, learning just to find peace amongst the chaos. We can't control other people. All we can do is control ourselves. And so how can you take charge of your experience in your blended family without being at the mercy of everyone else? Because I think that, man, I haven't talked to anyone ever, including people who've been married for 50 years, who, you know, 99% of people are like, yeah, at one point I wanted out. At one point I wanted out. I think that's a very normal, natural thing. And I don't think it's something to be offended about, because everyone feels it at some point. It gets really hard, you know?
Now that you're saying that, you know, I'm recounting, and I was not in a blended family, but how kids have a different experience. But I remember a time in my parents' marriage when I was probably, I'm going to say somewhere between the age of 16 and maybe 20. It was, I don't even remember it. It was a very short time, But I remember my parents very much being at odds, and there being a very, very rocky time of their relationship. And there was nothing, as far as I know, and still to this point, as far as I know, I don't think there was anything taboo, if you will. I don't, lack of a better term. There was nothing weird going on. I think it was just a very stressful time in their relationship, a very stressful time in our family. My sister had been going through brain surgeries, and it was just a very, very hard time. We were teenagers. I probably was not the easiest teenager to deal with. My sister, who's a year and a half younger than me, definitely wasn't easy to deal with.
I'm like, you know? Knowing both of you, yeah. I'm like, we should just send your mom flowers every week.
I know. And then here's my sister, you know, going through all this. And
your other sister.
My youngest sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my parents, I remember them just having a really hard time. And as far as I can remember, it could have been a week. It could have been a month. It could have been 6 months. It wasn't very long. It was a very quick thing. And I remember them just being so just, it was just a hard time for them.
Yeah.
And I don't think about it. I don't ever remember it until, like, you just start talking about it. It's like, whoa. But, you know, here they are, what, 43 years, 44 years later, and just living their best lives, you know, yeah. So happy, know each other so well, went through it that neither of them gave up.
Yep.
And they're right. They're living their best lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's it. You know, the secret to a happy marriage and the secret to parenthood and step parenthood, I really think, unless there's abuse going on, right? I think that right. You do, you know, infidelity, abuse, things like that, I wouldn't stay, right? However, I think people give up too soon in most situations. And I think that
especially in this culture, it's an easy, this culture that we live in right now is very pro giving up, is very pro moving on.
Well, because it's all about you.
It's all about us, and it's very instant gratification. Yeah. So if this person doesn't fit your need, you know, just give up on them.
Yeah.
Move on to the next yeah. one. You know, if this video doesn't fit your need, move on to the next one. So we're 15 minutes in. So obviously we're fitting your need. So thanks for being here. Give the video a thumbs up, or if you guys are listening,
subscribe.
Yeah, whatever you guys can do. Do it, please. It helps us, and it helps blended families. So
yeah, I think people give up too soon, and I think that's the mantra of every relationship in your home, right? Like, we don't give up on each other. You know, I don't care how rocky your relationship is with your stepkids. You know, you don't give up on it. You know, I don't care what season your children are in. You know, we're in the teenage season, and it's awful. We don't give up on our children.
You sure?
You know? Yeah. You know, okay. And I know that our marriage isn't always rainbows and sunshine, but we don't give up on each other.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think if you come at your blended family and your relationships and even co-parenting, you know, co-parenting can evolve. Just because this is your experience now with your co-parent doesn't mean it can't get more peaceful down the road or shift when your children age, or, you know, you go through different seasons, and especially relationships that you aren't going to leave or don't want to leave or can't leave. Like, you can't leave your co-parenting relationship. There's nothing more binding than having kids with someone. Marriage ain't got nothing on that, right?
So no, that's the worst
marriage
reality.
Ain't got nothing on
that's
having
the
kids
worst
with
reality
someone.
To all of us our co-parents, like, okay,
yeah, but I mean, that's true. So relationships that you are necessary, then it is the if you can come at it like, we just don't give up on each other,
right?
You know, we are each other's co-parents. We are, you are the mom, I am the dad, or I am the dad and you are the mom. And that's the reality. And we don't give up on each other because our kid or our children need us both. And so we champion each other.
Well, you know what? And when our kids are at their worst, when they are at our biggest detriment,
yeah,
that's really when they need us the most. As much as we don't want to be around them, at that point, usually they're struggling.
You lean in.
And yeah, and they might think that they're doing great because they're out, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing, whatever. And just because they're having fun and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, because we know as parents they shouldn't be doing it, doesn't mean that they aren't struggling. Because a lot of times we have already embedded in them, we have seeded in them what is right from wrong. And they're usually, you know, making poor decisions at that point. And they know in their heart of hearts, they know in their mind that they are making bad decisions, but they're having a good time doing it. So they're feeling conflicted while all this is going on. So again, like, parents need to show up, and you might argue with them, you know, and I do this a lot with my son. It's like, bud, you should not be doing this. Like, that's not all right. And he gets mad and we argue about it. And then we talk about it later. And he goes, I know, Dad, I shouldn't, you know, I know better. And not in so many words, but he knows right from wrong because I've seeded this in him.
And you rein it in. I think at the end of the day, you know, when parents just give up and they, because kids are going to test boundaries and kids are going to test us and push us. And we do that to each other in adult relationships. I think you rein in. And I think that's a really important thing. But I just think people give up a little too soon in blended families. And I get it. It's easy. I mean, once you've been divorced, I think of, like, the first time you get divorced is like losing your virginity, right? It's like the first time is a big deal.
Okay.
You know, and then it's like, well, I think why blended families also split up is this mentality of like, well, I've already been divorced. One, I know I'll survive it. Right.
Yeah.
And two, like, my record, quote unquote, if you will, is already
tarnished.
So it doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. Like, no, I
it's not
totally
like
agree.
I've never been divorced and there's like this
air
around.
That's exactly why there's a 70% failure rate in second marriages, like, because it's too easy at that point. And, you know, not that you really, really want to, but it's like you just said, you've already been through it.
You know, whatever. You'll survive it. Yeah. You know, and you're like, I'll find somebody else, you know, because you've already done that. I think you get desensitized from it. And I think it's a shame. Back to communication, though. If your spouse, like, imagine everyone, what it would be like for you to be able to go to your spouse or your significant other and be able to share with them anything, like your struggles. Like, say you were struggling with, I don't know, whatever struggle you're having. You feel worthless or invaluable, or you feel like maybe you're attracted to somebody else. Like, maybe it's that, right? Like, you haven't acted on it, but you're attracted to someone else, or you really don't like your stepchild, or you're really struggling with your co-parent, or like, whatever it is that you hold on to and don't share. There is so much, and this is what I see with every client, and it kills us inside on some level. There's so much that we don't share. And I don't think we have to share everything, but I think that if it's going to torment you, you should have a safe place to be able to share. And so I'm just imagining, like, what if you knew you could go to your significant other and you could share with them whatever your struggle is? And it feels safe to do so, meaning you wouldn't get punished for it. You wouldn't get shamed for it. You wouldn't be told you're wrong. You wouldn't be offending anyone, because it's about you at the end of the day. It isn't about them, right? Whatever you share is going on with you. It's not about the other person. And, like, what if it was what if it felt really safe to do that? I imagine most of us are sitting there and thinking that would feel so good. Like, I would feel so bonded. Like, that would feel like a best friendship, right? Where you could just go say whatever and it'd be okay. You wouldn't be judged. You would just be loved where you're at. I feel like that would build intimacy in relationships. That would build connection. And that would give you a really strong, like, we can get through anything if I know. I tell this to my kids.
Let's try this, see how it works. I'm really attracted to your mom. Do you
want to bond to be intimate? You always tell me that. That's not anything that...
You don't want a bond to be intimate now?
Our bond is way more intimate now. But you've been sharing that since day one.
No, I love your mom. I just like to tease. I like mama jokes. They're fun.
But I'm just saying, like, don't you feel like if people felt like it was safe to communicate with your partner, like, it would change marriages?
Yeah, but that is relationship. That is growth. That is trust. You know, and that all comes with time. That all comes with practice.
So what would you say men, like the male, our male counterpart, what do men need from their significant other to feel like they can share and be open with them?
I think I'm not speaking for all men, but I'm probably speaking for most men. We have been so desensitized and overloaded with being sensitive to women's needs and being gentlemen and women having this opposite effect of wanting to be empowered and, you know, women rise up and this and that, that we are caught in the middle. And now we are at a place where we are called to be gentlemen, where, you know, our culture shows one thing, but if you aren't a gentleman, then you're shamed for it. You know, I think you give me a weird look like,
no, this is so interesting. Blowing my mind.
You see where I'm going with this though?
So you feel caught in the middle, like we're raised to be one way, but now society is telling us to be another way and we don't know what to do. So we do nothing.
Society's bipolar about it. Society says, let women have women's rights. Let women rise up and be powerful. Let women have equal rights. But if we aren't a gentleman and we don't do all these things, us men, then we are terrible people. So we're caught in the middle where if we don't let these women rise up and be powerful, then we're terrible people. But if we aren't gentlemen to these women, we're terrible people. So if we don't do the right thing, which is never the right thing, because you kind of need to be softer with women as a man, and you need to provide, and you need to be a gentleman, you need to hold doors, but then you hold the door for a woman, and she gets mad at you. I've literally seen with my own two eyes a woman be like, I can do that myself. Like, whoa, you know, I've literally witnessed this type of behavior. So it's very caught in the middle. And this is very broad. This is a stereotype on society right now. But I know people are like, yeah, I understand this a little bit. So I think answering your question, something that would help us men in relationships, in home, not outside the house, but in home, would be to help your man feel okay about things. So by that, I mean taking the lead a tiny bit when it's like, you know, intimacy leading into that, because if we're too pushy, we're pushy. If we're pushy men, you know, a woman says, no, you gotta be like, no, you know, like you have to totally stop. Like, this is something we learned as children in school. If it's always been like, if anyone says no, you need to stop. But it was really like, if a woman says no, you need to stop. Right. So as soon as a woman says no, boom, you have to turn it all off. You have to completely get rid of all your feelings. But also women want us men to lead, you know, and take the lead and make the first moves and stuff like that. And if we do that and then you say no, then we're called to stop. You see where it's even trying to explain it. I feel bipolar about it. Like, I'm so caught in the middle about it. So if women in our relationships want us to act a certain way,
just to feel safe with communication,
just to feel, yeah, I think women need to open the line of communication and start setting an example of what that feels like for your man.
So women need to lead by example with men.
Yes. And I'm not saying 100%, but I'm saying allow your man to feel comfortable with it. Allow your man to feel, if there are boundaries, to show him what the boundaries are. If there are no boundaries, to let down those boundaries and be like, this is what our relationship is. This isn't what your relationship is with everyone else in the community or in society, but our relationship at home, our relationship, what communication looks like, what intimacy looks like, you know, what everything looks like. Give your man boundaries. Give your man open line of communication and let him know this is a safe place for that. That if you are attracted to someone else, man, woman, or indifference, then
the dog.
I'm going back to today's society. It don't matter anymore. That it's all right to talk about this. That there are not going to be punishments. There is not going to be consequences. And I've seen this in a lot of men around me over the years that aren't super confident of having open relationships with their wives, of communication, you know, where it's like, whew, they better not find out about this, otherwise I'm going to get trouble. And it's simple thing. It's like, it's stupid things, you know, and I'm sure you can think of a couple examples too, where, you know, say one guy leaves the house and he chews, you know, it's like, well, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing that, but you're doing that. So you need to get on the same level with your wife. She needs to know this about you, and either she's going to love you through it or not. She's probably going to love you through it. She's probably not going to be stoked on it, but at the end of the day, you're still doing it. So if you're still doing this and you can't be open with your own wife about it, like, how good is that relationship?
Well, this is really interesting because I've dealt with this in past relationships, like that specific example.
Oh, you have, huh? And that's not what I was getting at.
No.
And I know you know the example I'm talking about, but
yeah. But this is it. I think hidden secrets, right? Like a hidden,
that's
it could
it
be
is.
An addiction. It could be a hidden vice. It could be, I mean, whatever it is, right? Whatever is in the dark grows, because it's like mushrooms grow in the dark,
yeah.
Right? But when you bring it to light,
yeah,
it shrivels and dies and you have support now. So I think, you know, and I, it's interesting because I tell my clients all the time, and you don't do this, mm-hmm. but I say, you know, say my husband were to leave the toilet seat up every day and it's super, super annoying. And I get angry about it every day, even though I've asked, please put the toilet seat down. Please put, you know, at some point I have to ask myself as the wife, am I leaving over the toilet seat being up?
Yeah.
Like I have to talk myself off a ledge.
No, right.
And you don't leave the toilet seat up. This is
no,
not a
one
real
of my
life
biggest
example.
Pet peeves.
But I'm
it.
Just saying, like, you know, at some point things, ridiculous things like that, like with chewing or whatever, like, yeah. Am I leaving this marriage over this habit I don't like? And you, if it's infidelity, you might find yourself saying, yeah, like, you know, whatever. But if it's a habit, when you talk yourself off a ledge, though, it puts things into perspective, and now you can love your partner where they're at.
Yeah.
But I think you have to go there. I think you have to say you were chewing every day and you came to me and said, you know, I told you I'm quitting, mm-hmm. and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard and I want to quit, but mm-hmm. this addiction's really got a stronghold on me and I don't know how to handle this.
Right.
And I just want to let you know, dear wife, you know, yeah, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be bummed. It's not what I want. I think it's really gross. Not really inspired to kiss you when you mm-hmm. have chew in your, mm-hmm. could you imagine mm-hmm. kissing a girl with chew in her mouth? Anyway, but you know what I mean? Like all those things are true and I'm not leaving you over this.
Right.
And now I respect that you're man enough to tell me the truth.
Right.
Like for me, respect outweighs like my opinion.
Right. Well, and I think also having a support group with a lot of, you know, or a support partner with a lot of things will really help someone through that. Like really my only addiction is, I wouldn't even say caffeine. It's like Monster. I drink Monster and I've cut back on it recently. I'm down to like one a day.
Because you got a new addiction.
What's my new addiction? Oh, yeah, but it's not, but it's way healthier. But, okay, so.
I'm just saying, it's just funny.
Yeah, no, I love Prime, but it's all, like, purified water, coconut water, and then, like, some
this
other.
This is not an ad, by the way.
It's not at all.
Although, if Prime wants to sponsor us,
yeah,
give us a call.
Get a hold of Mr. Logan Paul. But if, you know, it's having people around you that kind of ask you about it and hold you accountable for it. Definitely help. And you know what, in really one of the biggest reasons why I'm subconsciously, what's the opposite of subconsciously, consciously thank you why I'm like openly thinking about it is, you know, my buddy Travis has cut, he doesn't eat sugar, he doesn't drink stuff like that, you know, is really cut back on stuff like that. And he tells me how much better he feels about it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. And we talk about stuff like this and he's not telling me to do anything, but I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah. You know, we're being very active. We're out doing a lot of things like water, you know, hydration type stuff is probably a better alternative than same Monster. So I'm like, all right, well, I still need it because I get headaches if not, you know, and I can cut back. And I found something else that I enjoy. And I'm not someone that drinks alcohol or anything like that. So I have to have something that I enjoy to drink a little bit, you know. So if I have something with hydration, like, great, that helps me a little bit. If Gatorade tastes better, I'd probably drink it, but it still has a lot of sugar and other stuff, and I don't feel great after it. Prime doesn't mess with me. But where I was going with this is having people that kind of talk about it, hold you accountable. Now, going back a little bit further, you know, and something that, you said earlier kind of triggered me, to thinking about it, you know, with culture and the way things are, a lot of men struggle, and we've known some around, to struggle with porn addiction, you know? And I think that is something that's usually hidden. Sometimes wives know, sometimes they kind of know, or they used to know, you know, we've known people around us like this, that struggle in this way. And people that I have known that struggle like this usually are in a very, what's the difference of intimacy? Non-intimacy?
Like disconnection.
Disconnection.
You feel disconnected, yeah, from.
They live in very disconnected relationships, or guys that I have known growing up over the years just haven't been in relationships or intimate relationships, and that's where they get drawn into this. Now, what can change that? Because we probably have a listener or two or six that have this in their relationship. And now I feel like wives can help out with that. Like, okay, well, because your man struggles with, you know, porn addiction, well, why, you know, getting to the root cause of it, and I'm sure a therapist could explain this better, is why is this happening? Why do they need to go down this route? Well, usually it's because of lack of intimacy, right? You know? So
I don't know. I haven't been with anyone.
I'm assuming.
I don't know. Are you addicted to porn?
Yes.
And I just don't know it.
Might as well face it. I'm addicted to porn. That's a new song I'm going to write. No, but I think, you know, we're talking about struggles, and that's just a very common one that I was thinking as you were saying that.
So wives can just be more intimate with their husbands.
Yeah.
That's a really hard ask, I feel.
Well, see, but this is, it's a hard ask, but it's not at all, because that's intimacy. That is coming out of your comfort zone and really connecting with someone.
Well, this brings up a point. Okay. Like, I feel like this is the problem in marriage a lot too, and in blended family, in blended family relationships. It doesn't even matter if it's stepkid or it doesn't matter if it's like step-parent and stepchild or marriage. In a relationship that is feeling broken, somebody has to go first.
Right.
And I think pride and ego gets in the way of that, like, because everyone's a victim. And this is so another reason why blended families fall apart and don't work out, and one of their biggest struggles is that everyone in a blended family, I don't care if you're a stepchild, a bio child, a parent, step-parent, spouse, everyone sees themselves as a victim. And living in a victimhood state is intolerable. So because it's intolerable, they act out, right? I'm a victim, right? My parents, my step-parent, whatever. My spouse doesn't, you know, whatever. Like, I'm a victim. I take zero responsibility for my experience, and now I'm just a victim. And everyone plays that role. And when you're living in a house with a bunch of victims, who wants to come home to that? Who wants to be around that? If I'm a victim and I come home to other victims, man, it just brings me further down the rabbit hole of victimhood. And it's not a sustainable way of living. So then people look to the outside. Right. Kids look to go get, you know, go be naughty outside the house, you know, or go live with the other parent because that house is not like that. Or spouses are, you know, getting lost in friendships or maybe unhealthy other relationships or with vices because they can't do nothing about a victimhood mentality. Right. I think one thing that people can do to get out of that is just, if you are unhappy with your circumstance or your relationship or your family, like, start taking responsibility for your part in it.
Well, you know what the number one cure for this is?
Oh,
because
dude,
it starts
pray
with one
tell.
Person. Contacting Julie at becominghurtnow@gmail.com. Oh. But literally, this is what you do, right? You help change experiences. You help change.
I empower people to take charge of their experience.
Right. And in a household, can this be done by one person?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, because somebody has to go first.
Exactly.
Somebody has to go first.
If someone goes first and someone knows how how to lead and gets a playbook on how to do it and has accountability, like I was talking about earlier, that changes the trajectory of the entire family. So if this sounds like you and this sounds like your family, and you're like, dang it, the kids are starting to go a little off track. My husband's starting to go a little off track. My wife's starting to go a little off track. I would really encourage you to hit up Julie at becominghurtnow@gmail.com, or just go check out her website at becominghurt.com.
Yeah, thanks for that. There's a saying, a rising tide raises all boats.
Unless it's a sinking ship or a submarine.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if you can rise the tide, like, you can raise the tide, yes, whatever.
Rise.
Raise, whatever. But then all boats also go up with you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the power of transformation.
Be the ocean. Be the ocean in your family. Be the tide.
So
rising tide.
Rising. I don't know. I don't. Me in the ocean, I like to look at it, but I get motion sick. So I try to stay like swimming in it or on the beach. But another thing is with communication and feeling safe, I think one of the biggest pitfalls that people have, and I don't, again, doesn't matter what relationship we're talking about in our blended families, is that we let assumption rule. Mm-hmm. And what we know about somebody else, you can fit on the head of a pin. But we're assuming away.
We assume.
And you're probably wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're assuming, you're probably wrong. And so it is one of the biggest things. And so, like, I assume going into a conversation how it's going to turn out, for instance. So I'm like, I'm not even going to have this conversation because I've already written the ending. And I, like.
You're very good at that.
Good
writer.
Yeah, like, I've written the ending for myself because I've assumed how you're going to react or how you're going to take it, or I'm assuming the problems that are going to, and I'm like, this is, nope.
When you can learn to let go of that, it was something I did a long time ago. It's when I go into, like, a meeting or a conversation, I have zero expectations. I set myself up for where I want to be, but it's always, to me, I've learned that, as I go through, like, a meeting, for instance, a business meeting, it's very fun to me to learn where it's going to go. You know, a lot of people walk in and they think, like you, they're going to control.
They have an outcome in their mind that it's going to happen.
They're going to control all of it. I'm like, no, I have, I'll walk into something and I have maybe an agenda that I would like to go, you know, like, in a way, and ways that I can kind of work my way towards that. But it's always fun to me to see where things go. And we do in this, you know, business group meeting thing that I do, we do a lot of, like, one-on-ones, you know, in business one-on-one relationships. And it's very interesting to see where that goes, you know, and the outcomes of things. So if we can learn that, to do that in our family, in our relationships, is go into a conversation without assuming. A lot of times the outcome is very exciting, because I think in our families, in our relationships with our spouses, we often forget very quickly that we are on the same team, that we are always working for the same team. We are always rooting for the same people. You know, we very often get sidetracked that we are on opposite teams and that we are working towards our own agenda and our own, it becomes our own uphill battle. And not to, you know, like, you and I talk or we argue about something, it's all of a sudden like, wait a second, we're on the exact same freaking team. We want the exact same thing for the exact same people. And it's like, oh, duh. But here we are assuming that we know what the outcome is. You assume that I'm going to be mad about something, or, you know. Yeah.
Well, I even see this in couples a lot, too, is, like, it isn't just assuming outcomes, but it's really assuming needs and desires of the other person as well. Like, I see people operate all day long, like, they know that, like, I know my spouse better than anyone. And then you pull them aside, and I'm like, I'm like, if you aren't asking questions, if you aren't, we should be asking each other questions every day. You know, what do you like? What do you want? What turns you on? What do you like, you know, in bed? I don't know
what's your favorite food at Taco Bell?
Yeah, like, we should always keep that curiosity. I think this is one of the secrets about keeping the flame in marriage or relationship, right? Is never losing curiosity for the other person. You will never know everything there is to know about your spouse. Even if you lived with them for 75 years, there would be parts and things of them that, unless you're being intentionally curious, and not just broadly curious, like, why, this is something I talk about in my coaching when we talk about communication. Like, why is a shit question? Stop asking it to your spouse. And I will talk to you individually all about that later if you want to know more about why is a shit question. But getting really specific and getting curious about your spouse and, you know, what made them handle that situation that way? Why did, you know, what made them think that it was okay to react, you know, that way? Because we get very judgmental, even with our spouses, you know, and the quickest way to break connection with anybody in your blended family is to judge them. Even your kids when they're misbehaving or they're talking back, or your spouse when they're being mean or whatever, the second we let judgment in, connection's broken for both parties. And there's not much forward movement you can do with broken connection. So the cure for judgment, because judgment breaks connection like that, right, in an instant, and the cure for that is curiosity. The cure for judgment's curiosity. And so how much are you learning your spouse intentionally every day, and your children and your stepchildren and the people in your life?
Well, and here's the thing too, is like, just because you think you know your spouse so well, and you might know your spouse so well, but here's the thing, we're always changing. Like, I, just because I love, we're going to say it again, Taco Bell, I might not love Taco Bell so much.
You don't love Taco Bell right now. You used to.
That's what I'm saying though, where you're like, oh, he wants Taco Bell every day for lunch. I'm like, I could go, if I had to sign up for, you know, sandwiches every day for the next year and not eat Taco Bell ever again, I'm all right with that right now. But ask me in a year from now, I might not want to ever eat a sandwich again. I love sandwiches.
You do.
You know what I mean? There might come a
day.
You
should own a sandwich shop.
Yeah, but you ask me, like, ask me, you know, I don't even need to ask you. Like, what are my three favorite food groups?
Oh, pizza, mm-hmm. tacos, mm-hmm. sandwiches.
There we go. But
did I get that right?
Yeah, completely. Okay. But when I was a kid, it wasn't the same thing, you know?
What was it as a kid?
Gosh, I don't know. Candy, and more candy, washed down with some Mountain Dew, you know, it was something like that. But we change, our tastes change, our desires change, our fantasies change. All of it changes as we grow, we mature, we learn, we get desensitized. You know, we get turned on to new things. You know, like, your favorite restaurant might not always be your favorite restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even your idea of fun changes as you get older. What 100%. I thought was fun yep. in my 20s certainly wouldn't be appropriate probably now.
Yeah, but some people watch those kind of films.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's also like, evolution's a beautiful thing. And because you grow. We weren't made to not grow. We literally, from the time we're born, we grow.
No, and we mature. But this is also what allows us to understand our children and help our children grow too, you know, and that's a big part of,
yeah.
what, you know, us maturing is, you know, my son sometimes will be like, Dad, you're not as much fun as you used to be, you know, I'm like, well, I've matured a little bit more, bud. You know, I have a little bit more on the line, you know, at stake these days. I have to, you know, make sure that everyone in our household is taken care of. I can't go out and, you know, break myself on a 130-foot jump because I have mouths to feed and bills to pay. So I can't be as much fun. Sometimes maturity and responsibility has to take over, you know, just like a 20-something-year-old kid. Sometimes they can just go out and drink all day, you know, and that's just what they do, and they drink all weekend. Yeah. But you can't live a lifestyle. I mean, usually you can't live a lifestyle like that. Otherwise, you're never going to get ahead in life.
That's right.
You're never going to be able to support your family, take care of a family, and hold down a steady job and a steady relationship. But, you know, again, this is a rabbit hole that you can go down with kind of anything. So, yeah. But this is part of us growing up and maturing.
Yeah. And I think one thing, we're going to wrap up here soon, but I think one thing that really helps couples push past point, like, because we're all going to want to give up. Just know that. You, your spouse, your kids are going to want to go the other, like, everybody's going to want out at some point. But I think what helps couples push past that is vision. And this is part of that maturing and growing and evolving is being able as a married couple in a blended family to dream 5 years out, 10 years out. You know, what does retirement look like for us? How are we going to spend our, you know, kidless age together when we have, when we're empty nesters, and what, even in 5 years, like, let's plan a final vacation before all the kids are out. Like, let's do one last family thing. And what is that going to look like? You know, are we going to have retirement parties? Are we going to invest in property? Are we going to, like, what do we want for our family and our marriage as we go through the seasons of life? And I think that can change. You don't have to stick to it. But I think having a dream, having a vision gives you something to work towards together. And I think that's very unifying and as a team. You know, I think we get so distracted by the upset of our current circumstance that we aren't visionaries anymore. And you have to be. I mean, you would do that in your business. You have to have vision for your business. Otherwise, what is the point? It's just a daily grind. That's no fun. But if that daily grind means something, and I think that the quickest way to get on a team is to have shared vision, but you have to have those discussions and communicate about them. Two other things really quickly, I won't spend a ton of time on them, but why blended families struggle and end up imploding is that we are so hell-bent on everyone changing. We can't be happy unless other people change. And literally, that's the ideal that we hold. And it's very, very bad and wrong and toxic because you can't change anyone. You have no power to change people. You have no power to change anyone, so you don't know if you're going to be okay or not.
You do have the power to change someone.
You. Yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, everyone else is going to change, good luck with that.
But by changing you, it's going to force everyone to change, right?
That's right. Well, I mean, people are going to have to change to stay in a relationship with you. And I think that's a really scary thing for a lot of people, right? As you change, as you evolve, as you level up, as you become your best self, as you hold boundaries, whatever that looks like, right? To be in relationship with you, people are going to have to meet you where you're at, however far up that is. That's the truth.
It's the truth.
So you can change. You can change your experience in your blended family. You can get past the hard parts by not giving up too soon and really start focusing on you and what's going wrong. I think that's, you know, we have a saying in coaching, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So if you're constantly focused on what's going wrong, you'll never see what's going right. If you're constantly focused on your disappointment and your struggle, that's all you're going to find. What you look for, I promise you will find. So if you look for all the negativity and you look for all the disappointment and you look for all of who's wronging you, you're going to find it 100% of the time. But if you start looking towards the blessings and what you're grateful for and what is going right and what is going well and how good you do have it, you'll find that 100% of the time. You just depends on where you're looking and what you're looking for, because whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. And I think a lot of times we're looking for evidence to prove our negative narrative right.
Yeah. And if this is you and you need help and you need accountability and a playbook and step-by-step, again, Julie at becomingheardnow@gmail.com, or just go to our website, becomingheard@gmail.com. And are you there?
Becomingheard.com.
What'd I say?
@gmail.com.
Becomingheard.com.
Is the website. But yeah, on the website, you can book a free breakthrough session with me and we can talk and figure out if I can be of service to you. And I always have really great insight for anyone, even if we work together or not. So take advantage of that while those last.
And they usually become friends. Clients I've seen more often than not just become friends and good relationships. So if you just want another good relationship, here we go. Good example of one. And then real quickly, if you have ideas and goals for your blended family, we'd love to hear about it. So please leave those in the comments. I'm always curious to hear and see what other people, what other blended families' goals and accomplishments are. Goals are always a big thing for me, and vision, you know, and what's coming up. So tell us about those, please. We'd love to hear about them. So follow us on all the socials. Let us know. Leave us, you know, your goals on the next Instagram post. It doesn't matter where you leave it. Let's hear from you. We love to connect with you guys. So
yeah. And if I had to leave you with a final thought, out of everything we've talked about, it is to get to know your spouse. Truly. Get to know them.
I love it.
Be curious. Well,
thank you guys for being with us. We are The Blended Life, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for being here. Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.